Bless him, Lord. For that song right there. I'm glad his banner over me was love.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, the love of God.
Amen.
Paul said the love of Christ constrained him.
Yeah.
And when I think about how much he loved me, it humbles me.
Yes.
And he went all the way. I heard one guy say that he deserves the reward of his suffering. He may not ever get it, but he deserves it. Amen.
Right. Amen.
He deserves to receive the reward of his suffering. And how lightly we esteem the great sacrifice that he gave, the great love that he displayed. how lightly we esteem that. Thank the Lord for this beautiful May the 5th Sunday morning. And an opportunity to be in the house of God, opportunity to brag on the Lord.
Amen.
I was telling them in Sunday school I'd actually gained enough weight since I've been here to wear these pants without these suspenders, but my faith was weak, so I put the suspenders on. These are the pants I got, ain't got no belt loops in them. I thought, I believe I could wear them without any suspenders, but I'm kind of like old Peter, I'm over you with a little faith, so I went in and put the suspenders on. But it's good to be here, good to be saved.
Amen.
Man, I'm glad I'm in the family of God. We used to sing a song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Join heirs with Jesus as we try. I don't even remember the words to it, but we used to sing it.
Yeah.
And I tell you right now, I am glad. Amen.
That's right.
Hey, I might have got adopted, but I'm okay with that. I'm in. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter 5. We'll read a few verses out of Genesis chapter 5. And we'll read a verse out of Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 5, we'll read verse 22 down to verse 24. And the Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now let's move over real quickly to Genesis chapter 6. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's just on the right-hand side of the page. And we'll read verse 8. I'm just going to read verse 9. But verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Verse 9, which is our text verse. "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations." And this is why I wanted to read this verse. "And Noah walk with God." And we'll stop right there. I'm preaching today on how's your walk with God. All of us have a walk with God. Some of us is a deep walk, some is a shallow, some is far off, some is close. But the Bible does tell us, draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. But let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege to say we're saved. Thank You, Lord, for counting us faithful, putting us in the ministry. Lord, You directed us, Lord, to this passage. And I want to say, first of all, that You'd help me not to think more highly of myself than I ought. I pray with a humble and a meek spirit You'll help me deliver this message, Lord, today. I pray the Holy Spirit's unction upon it. I pray, Lord, the glory and the blessings would be upon You. And I pray, Lord, You'd help me just to be the messenger boy and feed our hungry hearts today. May we sup with You at the table of the Lord. May we get the heavenly manna. May it, I pray, Lord, fulfill, I pray, the needs that are here today. I don't know all the needs, but You do. But Lord, if there be one here today that maybe needs something from the Lord, I pray, God, You'd minister to that need. And whatever You do, we'll give You praise and glory. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How's your walk? If you'll notice, two men are mentioned here, walk with God. Two distinctions. One of them walked with God before the judgment of the flood. God took him out before the judgment came. The other one, Noah, Enoch, walked with God before the judgment of the flood, and God took him out before the flood came. The other one walked with God, and he walked with God through the judgment of the flood. Two pictures. One pictures the church. The other one pictures the Jew through the tribulation. But both of them walked with God. And we parallel Enoch more than we do Noah. But praise God, they both walked with God. If you'll notice back in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 26, at the latter part of that verse said, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, if you walk with God, you probably got a prayer life. And we probably will preach a series on this walk with God. But of course, next Sunday's Mother's Day. And I don't really want to don't want a Mother's Day this message into next week. So I'll probably pick this message back up after next Sunday, because we want to honor Mother's Day next Sunday. Now, I'll tell you what, I thank God for my mother. And boy, God gave me a good mother. Someone said I had a face only mother could love, but I tell you what, I'm okay with that. She loved me, spoiled me rotten. But in your walk with God, you'll have a prayer life if you have any walk at all with God.
That's right.
And if you'll notice right there, Brother Mitchell, I like that in verse 26 of Genesis 4. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, the reason that men began to call upon the name of the Lord is kind of brought out right down there in verse number 29 of Genesis chapter 5. And they called upon the name of the Lord because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. God had not just cursed it once. He cursed it twice. He cursed it once for Adam's sake. Then He cursed it again for Cain's sake. And they were really struggling to work the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Somewhere down through history, men have quit calling upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
That seems like that's the last option that men consider today, is asking God for help. Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not faint. And Paul told the church in Thessalonica in Thessalonians 5:17, he said, pray without ceasing. And God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and He makes some distinctions here. He said, if my people, I want you to know He made a distinction
right.
of who He's talking to.
Amen.
He said, which are called by my name, and I do bear His name. He says, shall humble themselves, that's the first step in prayer,
Amen.
And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
Notice He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, we've got problems in America. They got problems in Russia. They got problems in China. They got problems in North Korea.
Yeah.
They got problems everywhere. But the biggest problem they've got is they're not calling upon the Lord for help. Amen. Men call upon the name of the Lord. And the reason they called, because the ground had been cursed and they wasn't having no luck working the ground. Amen. I mean, there was a reason for them calling upon the name of the Lord. Genesis, mentioned in Genesis 3:17, God cursed the ground for Adam's sake. And in Genesis 4:12, God cursed the ground for Cain's sake.
Yeah.
When I was a young man in elementary school, about like Tavian and Davian, I remember in my school book, in school back then, it wasn't corrupted like it is now. They actually taught you something. I still remember my arithmetic tables. I still remember all the tables. I still remember the alphabet and all that. I mean, they actually taught you something that really amounted to something. But one thing they taught us, Carolyn, I thought was kind of significant, was when the Indians worked the ground, they put a fish in there beside every seed of corn. And the purpose of the fish was to give the ground strength so that seed of corn could yield the potential that it had in that seed of yielding a good stalk of corn and a good corn crop. That's still today. Farmers have to put something in the ground.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Fertilize today. They put ammonium nitrate and lime in the ground and everything
yeah.
else
yeah.
trying to get a crop. But I'll tell you what, God put that curse on there. But also with that curse, He allowed men to call upon Him. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I don't know who gave those Indians the wisdom to do that, but I'm going to say they had a pretty good crop.
Yeah.
God offers men help. But few, and I do mean few, ever ask God for help.
Right.
Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God's there for us. He reaches out a hand like this and let me help you. And he says, that's okay, I'll get somebody else. And you'll go spend like that woman had that issue of blood, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
She went to many physicians, suffered many things, grew nothing better, rather worse. I don't know how the word got to her, but somehow it got in her mind. If I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I want you to know when she made her way to Jesus.
That's right.
Joanne, she touched the hem of his, I can just see it in my eye.
Yeah.
I can see her humbly.
Yeah.
Kneeling down, saying, I sure could use some help. I can just see her reach down and get a hold of him. I didn't want to disturb him. Just need that desperate, you know. When you get desperate, you do a lot of things.
Right.
She touched the hem of his garment body.
Right.
The Bible said immediately she was healed.
And that old man. That's right.
She could have saved a bunch of money.
That's right.
But we're just like her. We'll go everywhere but to him for help. Well, like on the internet, you notice everything comes off the internet now, Rita.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
I seen a commercial this morning watching a little bit of TV. There's a mom and a dad sitting at the table eating hot dogs, Danny. And at the other end of the table, there's a little girl down there. She's putting peanut butter on the hot dog bun. They said, where'd you learn that at? She said, off the internet. She put peanut butter on the hot dog bun, put the hot dog on it. She said, it was good. I believe I'll just stick with the mustard and ketchup myself. You know what I mean? But anyway, we've become dependent upon the internet. I watch my wife, and she's got, I ain't really sure what you call it, but she goes like this. That's all she does. And if she ain't done that, she's passed out asleep. She's been doing this, you know. Anyway.
Scrolling down.
Yeah. Trying, you know, I don't know, I got a smartphone. I'm not smart enough to have one. I was sleeping pretty good. Friday night, Danny, and the granddaughter coming in, royal panic, Papa, I need your help. I said, what's the matter? She said, I've been riding the golf cart and I lost my smartphone. I said, good. She said, it costs $1,000. I got to find it, Daddy, to kill me. So I go down there in the basement down there and I'm trying to rig up. I mean, I got a headlamp, you know, you put on. I give that to her. I'm down there rigging up like a frog, Greg. You don't know about where you can see a frog going across the building.
Yeah.
I'm rigging up this frog light down there, you know, on this 12-volt battery. She said, Pop, my phone's gone and you're down here messing with the light. I finally got it all hooked up. I found that smartphone in about 3 minutes. I said, how about the light now? Yeah, she got there. You know, I put that spotlight, that big old spotlight on that phone. I said, yonder it is right up there. I'm going back to bed. But anyway, you know, we've become dependent upon the things. You know, I don't know if they're the devil or not, but it just seems like the devil always tries to substitute what God offers. And if we're not careful, we'll end up being a product of that mistake.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll end up paying the price for that mistake. Everything God offers, it's free.
Amen.
And men had enough sense back then to call upon God for help. They didn't get a bill in the mail. They found out through God how to work the ground, how to raise a crop, how to make it, amen, through those hard times. I wish men were that that like-minded today. But the psalmist said, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble.
Yeah.
Psalms 18 verse 6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord. Now, you can get in trouble, and if you get in enough trouble, even if you're an atheist, you'll call upon the name of the Lord. A good illustration of that, somebody was trying to make a selfie at the edge of the Grand Canyon. I don't know if they got dizzy or what, they fell off and they killed them. But I promise you this, between the top and the bottom, they had thoughts about God.
Yeah.
I mean, even the fool's got enough sense when he sees an 18-wheeler come over in his lane, they say, oh my God, I mean, it's just rolling inside our heart. Yeah. It just seems like we've got the door locked to it, or we got the lock on it. We don't want to ever go there, but it's there. Men have enough sense to know that God can help them.
Yeah.
And even an atheist, even a liberal socialist fool will say, oh my God, when the circumstances are there.
Right.
My air conditioner tore up this week, and it was a small crisis. And I got down there working on that thing, and I caught myself, Lord, would you please help me find out what's wrong with this thing? I've done worked on it two or three times, and it hit lit and quit, and hit lit and quit. Mm-hmm. And I said, Lord, I'll tell you right now, it don't take much to get me on my knees, but I was up there saying, Lord, I sure could use some help. I finally found out what the problem was, Brother Mitchell.
Amen.
I got that thing going. I didn't take three steps. I stopped down and I said, Lord, thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I went in the house and I must not have had a whole lot of faith. I was checking about every 15 minutes. Just to make sure. I'd go over and make sure the cold air was still coming out, you know. And that night, I'd done me a little victory day and said, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
But you know what? God's there for you. God's there for me. He's never very far from any one of you. He might be the last one you call upon.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if you do have a walk with God, if you got a close walk at all with God, you got enough sense to know to pray when you got trouble. Amen. Yeah. The psalm that said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Now, I done told this once, but it really fits this message. I want to tell it again. Yesterday morning, I saw on Fox News, that's all I watch. I'm just a news nut. Yesterday morning really caught my eye. They had two teenagers on there that are both 17 years old. You young boys need to listen to this real good. You might get in this same predicament. But they took it on themselves. They're down at the beach in Florida. They decided, like young people do, they don't really think much about it. They just act on it. They decided they're going to swim out to this island. They could see it from the beach. They thought they'd swim out to this island. What could possibly go wrong? The island was further away, Tammy, than they anticipated. And they didn't make it to the island, and they was getting tired. And instead of getting closer to the island, they was being swept out, and they was getting further and further and further away. And they realized they wasn't going to make it to the island, Brother Danny, and they saw a buoy. And they said, we'll swim to that buoy, and we'll hold on to that buoy till maybe a boat comes by. And they didn't make it to the buoy. They're beyond the island. They're beyond the buoy. They're out in the ocean out there. The winds are blowing. The currents are just really, really, really strong. And they're just trying to keep from drowning. Someone had planted a seed in their heart because they finally prayed, Joanne.
Amen.
I like their prayer.
Right.
Their prayer let me know somebody planted a seed in their heart. Because they prayed, here's their prayer. They said, Lord, if you truly have a will for our life, please help us. And a boat showed up, Brother Mitchell. Guess what the name of it was? Amen. Yeah, a boat showed up on the side of it. They showed a picture of that boat on the side of it. A great big word. Amen showed up. I mean, God had a will for our life. And His will is good.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you what, run to God. Run as fast as you can. Say, I need help. Don't drag your feet when it comes to trouble. I'm telling you, buddy. Oh, I thank the Lord He helped me get my air conditioning going. I was sitting there thinking how expensive that was going to be. Ended up getting it fixed about $30. Amen. But a missionary that worked over in Africa, he had instructed the people there to go out in the jungle and pray. And he got to noticing that the paths were clean on the ones that was praying regularly, and the paths was growing up on those that were just kind of hitting and missing on the prayer. And that's kind of way God looks at us, wondering, why don't they pray? Why don't they ask for help? I don't know.
That's right.
I was telling them this morning, I like some of the old songs, and a lot of the old songs, they still resonate in my heart. But one of the songs we sung on the days gone by years long ago, back when, I mean, buddy, we used the book. I don't know the name of it, but it said, ere you left your house this morning, did you think to pray? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes we do that. We just run out the door and we don't think nothing about what we might get into. And you know, next thing you know, we wish we'd pray before we run out the door. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Some of those songs, buddy, we need to pay more attention to. But how's your prayer life in your walk with God? It ought to be a healthy prayer life. Let me tell you, sometimes they say, what do I pray for? I'll tell you one thing you can pray for. Pray for forgiveness, amen?
Yeah, right.
Because if you don't forgive others, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15, He said, if you don't forgive others, He said, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you, amen?
Right.
And Peter, you know, we always got a Peter. He said, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times in a day. And the Lord was quick to rebuke him. And he said, I say not unto you 7 times a day, but 70 times 7. I mean, the Lord, he's quick to forgive us. When I think about all that I've been forgiven of, why should I hesitate forgiving anybody of anything?
Right.
Now with that statement, let me confess real quickly what happened to me this week. Out at work, someone had the TV on, is it Forensic Files? Something like that, some kind of
Forensic Files.
Someone had it on that Forensic Files, and I wouldn't watch. I'd be on Fox News, but I try to be nice. I try to be unkind. So I'm sitting there suffering watching this thing, trying to eat my dinner. But anyway, in this one episode they had on there, this guy killed this young girl, and he videotaped it. And I'm sitting there eating, and I see him walk in this room, and this young girl, she is kneeling down trying to hide. And he's filming coming over there, you know, and killing her, and I got mad. Now, I hadn't got that mad in a long time, Rita. I mean, I got mad enough. If I'd been there, I'd tore this guy in more than one piece. Now, I got the whole weight mad. I mean, I couldn't believe. It took me about 3 days to get over it. I couldn't believe how mad I got. And, you know, this is somebody's little girl.
Right.
And he didn't have no regard for her or anything else. He wasn't there, and not only killed her, but he filmed it. He just flew all over me. I lost it. But then I ain't kidding you. I'm sitting there. I mean, I was ready.
Right.
Oh, my. I was ready to, I mean, take him on. And the Lord kind of dealt me about that. Like, you know, like, hey, I died for him too. And even though I can't understand that kind of love that God has towards us, I'm supposed to strive to try to love like that.
Man, that's right.
And as much as my blood was boiling, and as much as I wanted to find this guy and lay hands on him, Bible says lay hands, not lay hands suddenly on any man. I took my time. But anyway, as much as I wanted to, God kind of let me know that you know, there's the people he died for. There's the people he loved. There's the people he prayed for, amen. But God expects us to forgive others as he forgave us. In Luke chapter 11, verse 4, it talks about, and forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone that's indebted to us. You know that Lord's Prayer. The Lord teaches how to pray.
Yeah.
And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. When I think about the forgiveness that was manifested to me from Calvary, Luke 23:34, I realize that it hinged upon the prayer that the Lord prayed. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 tells me how I was forgiven. It says, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. That's how I got forgiven. That's how you got forgiven. But unforgiveness, it hinders your prayer life. And especially within your family. You know, family is the hardest one. I was telling Brother Ed this morning, I said, man, I have the biggest problem with it anyway. I said, it seems like every day we have to fight, and I have to end up killing me 4 days over with. I try to live a crucified life, and it ain't always easy, but Eddie's got to die so Christ can live. But every day, Eddie tries to give me trouble, and the devil makes sure he's got the advantage over me.
Yeah.
But anyway, this old Paul said, I know that in my flesh dwelt no good thing. This old man that keeps rising up that I have to kill every day is the biggest problem. But in your own family, let me see if I can put this where you can understand it. Have you ever noticed how nice you are to others and how hateful you are to your own family? Hello? You got any honest people in here?
Yeah,
I mean, come over and all of a sudden you're just talking so nice and you're so polite.
Yeah.
I mean, you pull a knife out. Oh, yeah, we're doing just fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, anyway, we've got to learn how to forgive even our own family members.
We do.
I eat a little crow every now and then, and probably the worst crow I guess I've ever eaten. It's one time I guess I was praying my righteous indignation body. I went back there to the back bedroom. I do a lot of praying back there in the back bedroom. I shut the door, and I fell down on that bed, and I'm giving my son down the road. I'm giving my daughter down the road, and I said, Lord, this is doing this, and they were. And this is doing that, and they were. And I said, Lord, I want you to do something about it. You know what he told me, Bonnie? He said, tell you what, let's work on Eddie first. We'll get them later. I have to admit, that made a difference in my prayer right there.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, he was right. He was right because I could see all of their faults, but I couldn't see mine.
Right.
I kind of like that man went in there and said, I'm a guy, I'm not like other men. I pray, I fast, I pay tithes, I give all. I mean, I had my right to indignation just stripped off of me, and God said, here's the problem right here.
Yeah.
It's with you.
Yeah, amen.
After he got me straightened up, brother, and I have to admit, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't have to complain one, amen.
Right.
You know, sometimes our family problems, they're easily resolved because most of the time, family problem with us.
Yeah.
You know, me and my wife, Carolyn, we've been married for 44 years. Somebody said, hey, you do it. You just learn how to get along. That's all we stood. I mean, I wanted to kill her till the time she wanted to kill me. We just figured out how to get along.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when we went back into the back barn, I said, honey, I'm going back to the back barn. She said, yeah, you better. And I'll be back later. She said, yeah, that might work. She called me, said, I got supper fixed. She's cooled off. I've cooled off. We come up there and we act like husband and wife again, you know.
Yeah.
But words, I tell you what, boy, words, you need to choose them carefully.
That's right.
Words can fly off the handle, and they can make a forest fire in a minute. I mean, just a little spark can get out of control, and the next thing you know,
man.
I mean, buddy, you're in trouble. I mean, you think, I wish I'd kept my mouth shut. You know what I mean? The Bible said, be swift to hear, slow to speak. I'm still working on that, Brother Mitchell. For some reason, but I speak, and then I think about what I just said. You know what I mean?
Right.
That'll get you in trouble quicker than anything.
Yes,
but family problems seem like they're the most predominant. It seems like I can get along with the people that I work with at work easier than I can get along with my own family.
Yeah, that's right.
And Peter talked about husbands and wives. Talking about husbands and wives, it seems like I fight more with my wife, which is really two will be one, which is the other half of me. But he said, if you don't forgive one another, he said it'll hinder your prayer life.
That's right.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and 9. And I tell you what, there have been a few times, buddy, it was borderline. I mean, we're talking about it was getting ready to be an atom bomb. But God said in Psalms 46:10, He said, be still and know that I'm God. Somehow you just need to just shut up.
That's right.
And let the Lord do the talking. And I find out He does help us a whole lot more than we're giving credit for.
Right.
But learn to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Forgive without any conditions, without any stipulation, and your prayer life will be a whole lot healthier. You'll be able to stay on praying ground, and you'll be able to stay on blessing ground. And like I said, that video at work, I was even myself caught off guard with that. And I couldn't believe how quick I got mad. I couldn't believe how quick, you know, I just got mad. I mean, I hadn't been that, it embarrassed me that I got that mad. I didn't say anything, but I might as well as, I mean, buddy, I turned blood red mad. And, you know, the Lord, He was quick to let me know them kind of people He died for. You know, that man done wrong. I can't undo what he did. All I can do is add to it. But anyway, I started praying for the Lord, that man, and that's all I know to do. In Psalms 103, verse 12, that verse says, as far as the east is from the west, notice these two words, so far hath He removed our transgressions. Now the flat earthers, they think the earth's flat. Well, if the earth is flat, why is it so far?
That's right.
If it's flat, then it's the same as the north to the south. But here's why that's important, Brother Jerry. When it's as far as the east is from the west, and you've got the Lord sitting on the circle of the earth and it's round, when I'm going east, and I do, I get the map out and I'm going east, guess what? I can't find a west. You know why? I go around this world 50 times. I'm still going east.
That's right.
But so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Never no more. That's as far away as you can put it, ain't that? I mean, if you put it as far as the east is from the west, that's as far away as anything can be put. Only God can do that.
That's right.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that statement speaks volumes about the love of God.
Yeah,
He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He put our transgressions from us. Praise God, Micah said He cast them in the depths of the sea and put up a sign, no fishing devil. Amen.
Amen.
That old accuser comes can't even dig no dirt up on me. No. I tell you what, he'd like to, but it's on the blood. Yeah. And even if he can come up with somebody, I've got a good lawyer, amen. I know a good Jewish lawyer. He was a carpenter, but praise God, he's my Savior now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Man, he had my case thrown out of court. Merits of love. Amen. I'm so glad that God allows us to walk with Him.
Yeah.
You know, I walked according to the course of this world for 34 years. I was walking contrary to the will of God for my life.
Yeah. Amen.
I was walking in darkness, still light. Nehemiah, you know, even some people have to get saved, they kind of jaywalk on God. They kind of, I don't know, they try to, in a lot of while, have a lot of while, try to live kind of like a gray life, not a gay life, I hope not, anyway. But anyway, we need to walk in the light, He's in the light. Walk in fellowship with the Lord.
That's right.
You know, that started in Genesis 4. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. In Genesis 5, men began to walk with the Lord. In Genesis 6, even though the judgment done been pronounced, men are still walking.
Noah
was walking with God. I just want you to know it is possible to walk with the Lord.
Yes, it is. Right.
We are to strive. The Bible says make straight paths for our feet. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I tell you what, buddy, we need to walk the walk, talk the talk, and the world will take note that we've been with Jesus. You won't have to say, hey, I'm a Christian. They'll say, I'll tell you one thing about Joanne. She's a Christian, amen. I've watched her. She goes to church even when she don't feel like it. She's there, amen. Your reputation will say all it needs to be said.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, boy, the world is looking for something real.
Yeah.
I'm glad God offers something real.
Yeah. That's right.
And not only did He give His Son for us, but He gave us a privilege through His Son to have fellowship with Him and to come and speak with Him and pray with Him and walk with Him. I just ask you today, how's your walk?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, if we got called out today and stood before God today and we were judged, every one, probably be embarrassing. But I am glad Jesus is going to step up and say, you know, I like this in the Bible. I talked to Brother Fish back yesterday. We had a really good talk. But I'm glad, hey, He's going to present me without spot, without blemish, in His presence, with exceeding joy. He's going to say,
amen.
This was mine.
Yeah.
All paid for.
Amen.
He's going to live
amen.
With me. I've done got accommodations over there, Mansion Avenue, where the streets are gold.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I can't wait to move into that city. Abraham saw the city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God.
Yeah.
I tell you what, buddy, through Abraham, I'm going to. I'm sojourning on my way home, amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I'm glad there is a city. Not like the one in New York.
That's
right. Somebody said that church took up some money and sent their preacher to New York. He come back and said, I didn't see a thing I wanted. But I'm glad, praise God, there's a city that God built. When we get there, we'll have no want of anything. We'll just want to live there forever.
Right.
Somebody asked me one time, a long time ago, Brother Eddie, how do we know we're going to like it? We get to heaven. I said, well, do you like it here? Yeah, I love it here. It's going to be far better there.
That's right.
I ain't got all the answers, but I'll tell you one thing God does.
Yeah, he does.
I'm just glad, praise God, my citizenship's heaven. I'm glad, praise God, I made preparation against that day.
Right. Amen.
I just don't know what may befall me today. I just know that the keeper of my soul, man, I'll tell you what, he inhabits eternity.
Yeah, right.
He's got the final say over me. The devil might come up there and make all kind of trouble for me, but God says, yeah, but April 27, 1988.
Right.
He gave His heart to me. I paid all of His debt. He didn't make a down payment. He said, I paid all of His debt.
Yeah, right.
I redeemed Him. It was a high price, but He paid it, amen. And I'm not my own now. I've been bought with a price. I belong to Him. You ever been at Walmart, Joanne, forget something, drive home, say, I forgot that, but you drove back and got it, didn't you? You know why you did? Because it belonged to you. Hey, He's coming back for what belongs to Him.
Right.
He bought and paid for me.
Right.
Coming back.
Lord,
amen. Don't pick me up. I'm leaving out. Well, I'm going to say, what up, man? And somebody say, we're home. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, to be able to have a moment to brag on you. Lord, I don't know how this message went. I just pray, God, that something in it encouraged your children. Something in it, Lord, caused them, Lord, to strive to live righteous, godly, and sober in this present evil world. Lord, that we might stand out in this crooked, perverse generation. I don't know, Lord, what all the problems is in America. I just know you've got the cure for it. I wish America would return to God. But whether it does or whether it doesn't, I pray God's children would live, Lord, present their bodies a living sacrifice, their reasonable service to live before this world in the beauty of holiness. Straighten our walk. Help us, I pray, in our walk, that it might bring honor and glory to you. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Get Brother Jerry, if you would, please. And Sister Sharon, get an invitational song, sing a verse. Somebody does need to do something. Well, here's your opportunity. If you don't need to do something, well, just think about what God's done for you and be thankful.
Yeah, that's right.
Enjoy this beautiful day He's given you.